Blog Talk Radio.
On behalf of Dan Law and myself, we here at Hell in a Cell Talk Radio would like to extend our thoughts and prayers to PWI Editor-in-Chief Frank Kruda. Get well, Frank.
Hey guys, this is Salamander Jones, and you're listening to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hell in a Cell Radio!
Welcome to the 29th exciting edition of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. I am your host, Double D. You can find me at Folsom County.
Double D?
Yeah, I'm back to Double D. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Because when you tell people why you have the name Triple D, apparently it causes hard feelings, Dan.
It wasn't really hard.
Now, Dan, this is the above-average comedian, Dan the Man Law.
Good. Thank you. Hello.
You can find me at Folsom County. Where can they find you, Dan?
You find me at DanLaw83.
Yes, yes, indeed. Today we have a big show. We started a half hour early to try to fit it all in. God knows if that will work.
No.
Probably not.
Not at all.
Probably not. Not at all. So what do we have, Dan? Let's just start out. We have the newly crowned ECWA Unified Champion, and that is none other.
Wow.
Chris Wilde.
Wow.
I'm not sure if he's a heart killer anymore, if he's a dream warrior. Not quite sure.
Wow. I'm still kind of wow after what happened this past Saturday. I can't believe it.
Yes, indeed. So tonight we have Chris Wilde will be joining us. Also, Craven Vero from PWS, that's Pro Wrestling Syndicate. They run out of Rahway, New Jersey. He will be joining us. He just made his debut this past Friday, and he was in the Battle Royal with fellow PWS students there at the training school. Dan,
I'm interested to hear how that went.
We'll also have DJ Hyde, the controversial DJ Hyde, CZW owner.
More interested to hear how that goes.
Yeah. It could be a very nice long interview, or it could be very short.
He could hate us, and he could kill us.
he has
that kind of power.
He does. Then we, of course, have Mike Keener. He's going to talk about the Dreams Project coming up on Sunday, this coming Sunday.
Sunday.
It's Sunday. We also are going to be joined by Robert Knight. He has a big announcement.
Oh, I'm looking forward to this announcement.
Big announcement.
Big! Huge announcement.
Huge announcement, and I do have to say, for the fans of Breaker Morant, he will not be able to make it tonight. I just found out myself.
Just found out?
Just found out.
Oh, man.
Yes.
Okay.
No hard feelings there. We'll get him back on as soon as time allows.
I mean, we get along so great. I mean, when he's at wrestling shows, it's like he's a great friend of mine. He would never, ever, not on DVD, ever, ever get in my face and scream at me for anything I never said, Breaker.
Yeah, so Breaker Morant, we will definitely, I didn't mean to say it like that, but we will definitely get back with him very soon.
I'm looking forward to that, because I'm looking forward to talking to him because, you know, we talk. He seems like a nice guy.
Now, Dan, I'm switching a few things up a little bit because that's what I do.
We started a whole half hour for no friggin' reason whatsoever.
Yeah, we probably didn't need it at this point. We'll just talk to Mike a little bit more.
Okay. Hi. How are you doing?
you know, Brady, I believe, will be joining us as well. So
Brady, okay.
Brady's ear is still ringing, and it's amazing that you bring that back, bring that up, because what I'm going to do after the show that just this past Saturday, of course, ECWA's 45th anniversary show, we got these words from Brady Hicks. Now, just to give you a little background, before the show even started, Brady was trying to...
Like a little girl, okay?
He was trying to extend the olive branch, and Papa Don, who at that time was the champion...
Hey!
Well, at that time was champion, well, smacked him instead of accepting the hand of friendship. So here's Brady's words after that.
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, my ear's still ringing. I got a headache. I'm not a wrestler. You know, I went to the guy, and I knew he had a beef with me. I didn't think I did anything wrong, but, you know, I extended my hand, and I just thought that, like, maybe just, like, forgive me or whatever, like, having the guts to, like, come up to him, but the dude just takes his hand, and he just freaking, like, hits me on the side of the head. I'm not a wrestler. I don't know, man. I just need to pop some aspirin and go to bed, I think. It's just been a bad night. I mean, I just want to go home and go to bed and just forget that today happened, dude. I don't know what else to say right now. I don't know what I could say, man. I tried to do the right thing, like, right, wrong, or otherwise. I tried to do the right thing there, and it just blew up in my face. So I don't know that I would say anything. I think I'm just going to stay away from him for a while. I don't know what else to say. I mean, you know, how can you reason with somebody who says they're going to shake your hand and then smacks you upside the head? I'm not a wrestler. I'm not prepared for this kind of stuff.
Brady, I don't know what to tell you other than, you know, try and go home, get some rest, and just try to clear your head for the morning. You know, just thank you for taking the time.
There's a reason why they say not to do this at home.
So, Brady, obviously, visibly upset. You can hear it in his voice. No. I'm not sure. But, of course, the bigger story coming out of the 45th anniversary show was the newly crowned Unified ECWA champion, and that is, of course, the Dream Warrior, I believe, at this point. That's none other than Chris Wilde, and we're going to get him right on. Chris, I'd like to congratulate you on the big win. Welcome to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. You're with Dan and Dean. How are you doing tonight, Chris?
Excellent, excellent. How are you guys doing?
We are doing well, sir. Let me just say congratulations yet again, because this win, there's been a slow transformation for you,
right.
Quite obviously, from when you first came in at the 2010 Super 8 to now. Just how does it feel finally reaching this boyhood dream?
It's hard to really put into words, man. I mean, you know, it's not every day that you get to conquer an unthinkable dream. And, you know, that's what I did. After the match was the first time, I think, in a long time I've actually been speechless. But, you know, being the champion now, realizing what it takes, it feels awesome. And it feels awesome to know that I have another match October 6th to go into with a lot of momentum.
Now, this was a long build-up. I mean, it's only been a couple days. I mean, has it sunk in yet? You're the champ. You're the guy. Or is it still not sunk in?
It sunk in Monday. Sunday I was sore as hell. Had a hard time walking, as you saw. That was a war. But it sunk in on Monday when I saw. I was really humbled by all the comments and the congratulations. I got to talk to a mentor of mine who really put everything over, and it sunk in not just to be the ECWA champion, but to be the first ever unified champion. And, you know, that's something I take great pride in. you know, like you said, it's been a transformation, man. I fought for the TWA title. TWA has a lot of links to extreme wrestling. And everything that I did with that title was extreme, throwing fire, bleeding, jumping off of things, you know, you name it, I did it. To now holding a title that has a rich wrestling history in the ECWA Championship, in which Papadon showed through 500 days, you know, he wrestled traditional wrestling matches for the 20 guys that he beat. So the transformation's complete, man. The Heart Killer is now the champion.
Now, going back, talking about this transformation, do you think that without this battle that you had with the Blackhearts, do you think that you could have done this?
With the momentum Papadon had, I tried a year ago in July. You know, me and Papadon went at it. I believed that I was the closest to get to beating him then, and I just didn't have enough. And you know, true story. It's almost been a year since I lost the Mid-Atlantic Championship at the first K-Cup tournament.
Nope.
And after that tournament, or after that show, you know, I was kind of like at a crossroads, like, where do I go from here? You know, I've got the Blackhearts ahead of me, but, you know, what's my success rate going to be in the ECWA now that I lost the major title? And I didn't exactly know. And fighting these guys and the wars and the tag matches and the war games brought out a fire in me like never before. And I think it was after that Extreme Rules Falls Count Anywhere match, I had a break of rant, and I looked at myself and said, man, you know, I want Papadon. I'm ready for him now. And things fell into place. He decided to double-cross me at War Games, and the rest is history.
Yeah, the way you won, I've seen you wrestle a couple of times, and one thing I've never seen before, you pulled out the Tasmission. Was this something that you pulled out of desperation, being in a match that long with a guy, or was this a plan all along? This is the final straw. This is what I'm going to bust out.
Well, there's a unique story that goes to this. You know, back in July, actually right before I faced Papadon the first time, I participated in a TNA gut check, and Taz was there, and he was showing the Taz mission, and, you know, Taz was always a favorite of mine growing up, obviously because of his size. You know, we're about the same height, and this is a guy that wasn't just a little guy that flew around or, you know, did 450s. I mean, this was an ass kicker. This was a guy that would take on any challenge and was one of the most extreme athletes of his era. So, you know, how do you beat a Papadon? How do you go against a guy who's beaten 20 other guys, including yourself? You have to have a secret weapon, and that's exactly what the Taz mission was. I trained it with it, perfected it, added my own spin to it, and, you know, I used it when I had the chance. I knew what to do.
Now, are you... At this point, is it still personal between you and Papadon? Because, of course, this was a very personal war that you two embarked on. Is this over? Is the hatchet buried? Or are there still some hard feelings between you two?
It's never going to be over between me and him, ever. I have professional respect for the guy. He's a hell of a wrestler. He's taken me to limits that I've never been to. He's brought out things in me that I've never, you know, had people bring out before. But as far as, you know, our personal hatred for each other, that's always going to be there. You know, I don't think much of him personally. He doesn't think much of me personally. I took his title, and he wants it back. And you saw what he did to a couple guys in the locker room. He's not happy. And to tell you the truth, I'm hearing a lot of him talking, saying he didn't submit. He didn't get pinned. You know, he's a champion. Finnegan's on the take. He wants two referees on October the 6th. I'll give him 80 referees. He can, you know, there's a bunch of guys, the NFL referees are looking for work. You know, obviously, they're on strike. We'll have Mike Tartaglia and Joe Zanoli. They can call these guys. He can bring the whole original NFL crew out October 6th at the K-Cup. Because either way, how do you slay a dragon?
Cut off its head?
You take away his breath.
There you go.
You make him stop breathing. And I told Papadon from the start that he wasn't a god, that he was just a man. We as men, we breathe, we bleed. Well, I didn't make him bleed last Saturday, but I took away every bit of breath that he had. And at the end of the day, when he was sleeping on the ground, I was the unified champion.
Well, the one point that I don't get that Papadon was making is that he didn't tap out, he wasn't pinned. But the thing is, to me, at least, choking someone out is a complete domination of that person.
Yeah.
Well, if you look at the matches that he's had, guys like Adam Cole, guys like Tommaso, Matt Sydal, even myself, you know, we make the mistake of trying to go move for move with Papadon. That's Papadon's game. Move for move. No one has ever tried to make him submit, and no one has definitely ever tried to choke him out, which was a weakness that I saw his when I scouted his matches. So going into that match, when he hit that exposed turnbuckle, I mean, it was right there, and I used everything that I could to squeeze the life out of him.
Now, what do you do next? I mean, do you look ahead, or are you still focused on Papadon? I mean, what do you do now?
I'm focused on October 6th. I'm focused on facing him in a rematch. And after that, then I look forward to the other events that ECWA has in October. They're running three, which is kind of unprecedented for, you know, an indie group to do. But right now I'm focused on Papadon and then, you know, just becoming one of the best ECWA champions ever. Like I said, man, this is like no BS, no gimmick, no angle. You know, this is something that I've wanted since I was a kid. While everyone else around me wanted to be, you know, NFL football players or play in the World Series, you know, I wanted to play with the big boys in ECWA and win the championship and then go further from there. But it was such a dream that didn't look like it was going to happen ever. And, you know, it did. So anything's possible. And I'm definitely looking forward to making this run a memorable one.
Sounds great. Now, you did allude to the fact that ECWA is having three events. Now, you're going to get in the ring with two guys on the 13th at Carney's Point, I believe it is,
right,
against two guys that really, really, I guess the best word is hate you. So you have Breaker Morant and the Greek God Papadon going at it in a triple threat match for the Unified title. How do you feel about that one? I know you still have to get past October 6th, but the 13th has to be looming largely in your head.
Well, yeah, win or lose, I'm going into Carney's Point to face Breaker Morant and Papadon. Win or lose, I'm going into that match. And, you know, I still have so much to prove. And with everything that I've been through in the ECWA, whether it was the War Games, whether it was the Blackheart saga, you know, I still have a lot of doubters. You know, even to this point, you know, people are saying, oh, well, Papadon's going to get the belt right back. It's going to be the shortest reign in ECWA history. I've got a lot of doubters out there. And I would, you know, I'm the kind of guy that, man, throw a challenge at me. Let's go. And what bigger challenge than to face two guys that not only hate my guts, but that I took titles from. I took the TWA title from Breaker Morant, and I took the ECWA title away from the Greek God Papadon. And they're both going to be coming after me with full force. So, and I want to take on that challenge, you know. Not only do they hate me, but I know them better than they know each other.
That's a very fair point. Now, where can fans follow you, find you, you know, if they want to follow your career now?
You can follow me on Facebook, or find me on Facebook, and follow me on Twitter at TheChrisWild. I also have a YouTube channel. Just search my name. Tons of videos and matches are on there. And, you know, social media is kind of the thing nowadays. It's not TV or websites. It's or even radio. It's these podcasts and social media. So you can find me on there.
All right, sounds good, Chris. Again, congratulations from Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. Big win for you. Probably the biggest win of your career. Well, definitely the biggest win of your career. And thanks for taking the time out to talk to us here today.
No problem. And you know, I was a little reluctant because you know I kind of got word that you guys were huge Papadon fans, so.
No, he hit me.
He hit who?
Papadon hit Dan.
Yeah, he hit me. He's a bad man.
Oh wow. So you must have felt real good seeing him fall asleep.
I was not on alert for about 5 minutes, so it was a nice feeling. Then he woke up and I was out of there.
Real quick, before you guys let me go, I know you got a tax show. I was seeing you're going to have DJ Hyde on and Breaker Morant. I just want to throw this out there. You know, I heard that PWI's Frank Cruda had a stroke on Sunday. You know, I just want to send my get-well wishes and would hope that everybody could send their prayers out to him. Frank is really one of the nicest guys and the most, like, honest and straightforward guys in the wrestling business. He's pointed me in the right direction throughout my career. He's helped me out. You know, even Saturday, in the beginning of the show, I had my gimmick table with all my stuff out, and I had one of the magazines that he did an article about me on. And he actually came up to me and thanked me for having that out there on the table, which is like, I'm like, man, like, you did this for me, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the kind of man Frank is, and he had a migraine. But he stayed for the rest of the show to watch the match. So just a great guy. And it's sad. But I wish he has a speedy recovery. And I just want everybody out there, whether you're a religious guy or not, just, you know, say a prayer.
That's right. Definitely from Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. He's always been very supportive of us as well. I think it was like our third episode he was on.
Absolutely, yeah.
And he's always been a great guy. At the shows, he'll talk to me, and he's always treated me with the utmost respect. So definitely a speedy recovery, and thanks for saying that, Chris.
Hey, no problem. You know, it comes from the heart. And he, like you guys said, he's just a great guy. You know, I don't know. I could go on and on about him, but definitely was heartbreaking news when I heard it.
That's for sure. But, again, I don't want to take the seriousness of the Frank Cruda situation off of that, but congratulations yet again. And
Thank you. You
have a great night, Chris.
You too, and tell Breaker Moran I said hi.
No.
He actually rescheduled, so it will be some other time.
All right, well, when you see him, tell him I said hi. I'm looking forward to October 13th.
Okay, I definitely will. He was saying have a good night, but... you have a good night, too. And everybody here, have a good night.
Hung up on him.
No, yeah, I did hang up. He's still listening. So, big win for Chris Wilde, ending that 560-day reign of the Greek god Papadon. So
congratulations. I mean, let's see. I'm interested and I'm very excited to see where this goes.
Oh, as far as where he goes from here.
Yes.
Where Papadon goes from here. Where everyone goes from here.
I just want to say real quick about Cruda, and this will be really quick, and I don't want to beat, you know, this into the ground, but he's not, hopefully he's going to do better very soon. Is a young guy, always read PWI, always heard the name Frank Cruda, and then we talked to him, what was it, the second, third episode in?
I think it was the third.
And I had no idea what the guy looked like. and you've heard the story already, but it's after Brady got smacked in the face, and I'm standing talking next to Brady, and this guy with a big goatee standing next to me talking to Brady with a camera, and I jokingly say to him, "Who the hell are you?" And he looks at me and he laughs. He goes, "Oh, I'm Frank Cruda." He shakes my hand, and I go, "Oh wow, honored to meet you. I've been reading and I've been buying your, I've been reading your stuff for years. You know, it's an honor to meet you." 2 hours later, it's at halftime. He comes to me and we're talking, you know, we're all together. And he walks up to me and goes, "By the way, who the hell are you?" I'm Dan from Hell in the Cell. Oh, okay. It was, and he had a big smile on his face, and I was like, I met Frank Cruda, and then I was very upset to hear this happen. So I really hope he gets better soon, and hope we talk to him soon. I just wanted to spread that story. I thought it was funny.
No, that's a great story, and that really illustrates the type of guy that Frank Cruda is.
Oh, yeah, we talked. After I found out who he was, I just yap for 20 minutes. He's trying to get away. He's like, "I got to go over here."
Yes, he's been cornered by Big Berg a few times, so.
I wasn't over there going, "Hey, so what do you think about, blah, you know."
Anyway, Dan, right now I tried to track down some exclusive words from Papadon after his loss, and here they are, Dan.
Papadon, listen. Didn't you see what the champ just went through? This is absolutely ridiculous. He didn't tap. He wasn't pinned.
Hey!
This is-
hey! Chico! Shut the hell up! I don't pay you to talk for me. You just do the announcing, and whatever I tell you to do, go get the rematch signed for October 6th. Right now! Before I smack the hell out of you.
Now, Papa Don, can I have a comment? Your thoughts over your first loss in ECWA?
Dean? Dean? You want my thoughts? Get the hell out of my face before I smack you like Brady Hicks, man. I swear to God, no comment. Get the hell out of here!
Obviously, Papa Don was not taking the loss.
I can't believe you walked up to him.
Well, okay.
Well, at least he didn't hit you.
Well, directly after I had my comments with him, he attacked the locker room. He went in and talked to Gus Grand and smacked him around.
Well, he deserved it.
Magnum and Ricky the Model almost got it. Hashtag well, Ricky the Model.
Hashtag hey.
No, it's hashtag woof.
Woof.
Omega Squad, you're here early this week.
Yeah, I'm here. I heard you guys had a opening.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, we do have an opening. What I'm going to play now is the Brady Hicks commercial, because
Hey guys, Brady Hicks here, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributing writer and the host of In the Room on WEXT 1600 AM in Philadelphia and TheBradyHicks.com. Like what you hear? Be sure to check out all the other great content available on TheBradyHicks.com. In the Room, Between the Ropes, JV Mail, Hell in a Cell Radio, Titus Machiavelli, The Papa Don Show, What's Wrong with Wrestling, The Book Club, Saturday Night Akbaz, The Extreme Odd Couple with Steve Carino and Rob Dimension, The O Show, The Fish Tank with Bobby Fish, and Dimple Date, The Date Dating and Relationship Show at TheBradyHicks.com. Great video content. This Week in Wrestling. Stepping Out with Sassy Stephanie. WSU and ECWA TV. Completely Damaged. Wrestling Reflections with Darren Corbin. And so much more. Check it out today.
To get in the cell, call in at 718-664-9133. Again, that is 718-664-9133.
Does my ear look bigger than the other ear?
Yeah, how many times did we hear that on
Hey, guy, are you sure my ear is not bigger than the other ear?
Well, you know, when Papa Don, you would know, Dan. I mean, what's that feeling like? Is it a feeling of complete humiliation?
It's more of a feeling of humiliation mixed with I just got raped. I mean, that's the wrong word. More like a violation.
Okay, violation I could go with. I was like, yeah. I'm not sure where you're going with that.
I'm wondering if we're going to get future endeavored here for rape gestures.
I'm not Tosh.0. I'm sorry. That was the wrong word. I was thinking more violation, and that is quite a violation. Not as bad as getting hit by Papa Don. I could get up from that. And I also don't cry afterwards.
Sounds like someone's car is violated.
Yes, and I'm going to shoot the person for not shutting it off!
never know what's going to happen on Hell. So I guess... I guess Craven Vero, the student from PWS, will not be joining us.
Now the dog's barking.
Yes. So,
get out of here!
I would like to say the next PWS show is October 12th.
I'm so glad we started early.
Yeah, I mean, it worked out pretty well. But luckily, I have plenty of things to play. Why don't we play that Fusion DS post-match interview? Here it is.
Now, in another shock from a night of shocking
incidents. What happened? Okay, what just happened? Midnight Sensation, did you come back like that? And you're going to let that stand?
I don't know who's playing what card. I don't know if Joe had anything to do with it, or he's a good actor and deserves an Oscar because he's saying he doesn't know anything about it. Joel Goodhart, I give it to you. I'm not going to say I give the devil those due, because you're looking at the devil. You're hearing the devil's voice. Did you see what I was about to do to them guys right after this whole freaking scenario?
I was kind of hoping the bat would contact somebody.
You ever seen this? Cessations were real tough until I came out with the bat. And let me tell you something. I don't need a bat. But I will tell you this much. This is not over. Oh, no, 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 no. Although, I recall Loser Leaves, right? Where is the loophole in this? And if you also see, regardless of being under mass, we beat the living hell out of them too. A majority of that match. Did we not?
What do you have to say about this, man?
A wise man once said, nobody steps on a church in my town. They stepped on my church. It ain't gonna happen again. I'm sick and tired of this crap. Like, literally, I'm so sick and tired, I'm about ready to fall asleep. That's what they do.
We're not doing this dance again. We're not doing this dance for another year. I'm sorry, they were a one-night stand that lasted a little too long.
That was a bad one-night stand.
A bad one at that.
They keep calling.
Get the hint, we're better, and that's it. Get out of our shadow. Because you know what? We're a lot bigger than you guys ever were. And you know what?
Wait, you're still smaller than them.
I am not going to say anything about how your last date went. Anyway.
It was just takeout.
Anyway. Sensations, we're not just going to beat you. You're in for a world of hurt. And Joe, if we find out you're behind this, get ready. Because you know what? We're not playing games. Bang, bang, if you catch my drift.
Wait, that catch my drift is my line.
Okay, so that was exclusive interview after the 45th anniversary show at ECW.
My voice was so shot.
It was a long night.
Oh, my God. Long night of screaming and trying to get dead people into it.
But did you have a good time?
I had a good time. I had a great time. I also learned that I was way more intimidating than I thought.
Okay. What we have now, DJ Hyde will be joining us in just a few moments now. Of course, DJ Hyde is the owner of CZW. They are known for, of course, the Ultraviolence. However, they do have quite a different product. I mean, they do have the pure wrestling matches that you would find at Ring of Honor. They have really an offering of everything. Dan, what are your thoughts about CZW?
I've actually, quite honestly, fallen out of keeping up with CZW. I mean, I remember right after ECW closed on Channel 9. WGTW, Delaware, Wilmington, Philadelphia, they were airing CZW in that time slot, and I watched for a long time, and there was a time there where between 05, 08, really, I kind of dropped out of watching wrestling, and certainly not paying attention to the indie shows, but I remember watching it, and it had the same independent vibe as watching ECW did on TV, you know, the camera, the setup. And they were always wrestling in the Philadelphia, ECW Arena, whatever the name of it was. And I'm actually excited to talk to this guy because they're still rolling. They're still doing shows, and they're doing a lot of shows, and they're still getting in the news. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Just in February, they celebrated their 13th anniversary. So without much further ado, after we play his theme, he'll be right on. Sure, if I was there was a little bit of air. I can hear you now, yes. How are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm making it through the evening, guys. How are you?
We're doing quite well. The first question And it's a rather standard question when people speak with you, is, for a person who's never seen CZW before, how would you describe it to them?
Kind of similar to what you guys said. CZW is the buffet table of professional wrestling. Obviously, we are most known for our ultra violence. I mean, it's something that separates us from all the other top premier independents, such as Ring of Honor, Chikara, Dragon Gate, etc. But we have something for everybody. We try to give everybody some type of wrestling. We have a very wide array of guys that, you know, can do it all. It's a hybrid style where you're going to see guys that can do ultra violence. You're going to see guys that can do the strong style pure wrestling matches. You're going to see great guys that are great characters and are funny. You're going to see great talkers, hot women. And pretty much we give you a little bit of everything.
Now, on the flip side of that, what a criticism would be, if there's a rated R scene in a movie, the whole show, the whole movie is still rated R. How do you feel about something like that?
Well, I mean, that is very true. We're not normally a family-friendly product, I would say, your typical PG type of product, but I don't think wrestling in general really is. I don't think the way that CZW and professional wrestling was built realistically is. I mean, you're realistically talking about two men fighting and punching each other in the face and slamming each other on the mat and so forth and so forth. That's violence. I mean, there's a lot of places out there nowadays that say WWE or any wrestling promotion for that matter is a violent act. And, I mean, it is what it is. Now, do we do it a little more risque, a little more extreme? Yeah. But that's one of the things that separates us. There's no other company like us. That's why we're like nothing else. That's why we have our tagline.
Now, I'm very interested to know, what made you want to get into what made you get into CZW? What made you create, get it going?
I didn't hear you there, my friend.
Can you guys hear me, Dean?
I can hear you, Dan. Go. Just ask the question again, Dan.
All right.
Yeah, I heard part of it, Dan. I didn't hear it all.
All right. I was just wondering, what made you get into – what did you decide to run a wrestling company? What was it that made you decide you wanted to run a company and compete?
Basically, I purchased Combat Zone Wrestling from the creator of CZW, John Zandig, about 3 years ago. A little more than that at this point. What realistically made me buy CZW is I love this business. It's what I do for a living. I don't have a regular job. I don't, you know, work at a bank or, you know, drive a bus or whatever. You know, I don't have that kind of job. I love what I do. I love doing it. I also know that in the long run, I'm not always going to be able to be a performer. I have been a performer. I've wrestled in, you know, 30-some countries. I've wrestled all across the United States. I've worked for every top independent. I've been on WWE. I've been a lot of places. And realistically, at some point, your body's either going to give out or attrition or you just, you know, fans don't care. You know, you're an old guy. I mean, it happens. So there are other aspects of this business. It also made me a better wrestler. In the long run, because you understand more when you start learning, hey, you know, I got to pay the bills. Hey, this is why we're doing this and so forth and so forth. It opens your eyes to a lot of things. I pretty much made that choice a long time ago because I want to stay in this business as long as I possibly can. As a wrestler, you're only going to have so long of a run. Well, like I said, whether it be, you know, a physical thing, injuries, or just attrition. It happens that way, and I mean, I think I'm pretty talented, and you know, I have done an amazing job, in my opinion. Some other people will probably disagree with me with Combat Zone Wrestling, and I mean, it is what it is. From there, it's why CZW. why not? CZW is one of the top major independents in the United States. I will admit, it probably is not what it once was. But I have, you know, since I've taken over, I have made a lot of changes, done a lot of business with a lot of places, put the direction of the company in a certain, you know, form to where when John had it, I mean, he offended a lot of some people. This is not a knock on John, just, you know, what his taste was at the time and what the company was geared toward. And, you know, there's a lot of bad business decisions and a lot of things that, you know, in my opinion and in some others were mistakes and things that maybe CZW shouldn't have done or maybe it should have done. But this is my home. I mean, I've been fortunate enough to be trained and taught by some of the greatest trainers in the world, but the people that I care about and the people that I realistically, you know, want to be around were in this company. It also, you know, business-wise, it has a built-in audience. It is a major player in the independent wrestling scene. It has a lot of great connections, and it has a fan base. So it's a lot easier to step into that than it would be to build something from the ground up. But it was also something I've been, you know, I've been involved with for, you know, over 12 years now of my entire life, where, you know, I originally started training there. I've been wrestling for CZW for over 10 years now. You know, I know the people. I know the family. I've done stuff behind the scenes. It was something that I had experience in. So, you know, why not?
Okay, now, one thing I was going to say, long time, and you alluded to this, but long time CZW fans would say that you have taken this in a different direction. What do you say to that? I mean, is it just like the business model has to change with the times, or this is more the direction you personally wanted to see it go into?
A little bit of both. Some fans criticize me because, you know, the hardcore fans that want to see the, you know, the ultra violence and the craziness and all that stuff, they criticize me a little bit because we stopped doing that. We haven't stopped doing that. We still have our marquee events. We still do that. We just don't do it at the rate we used to do it. There's a lot of reasons for that. Some are business reasons. I mean, simple facts of it are everything costs money. I mean, tables are about $110. You know, you break one table, that's an investment of $110. So at $20 a ticket, you need six people to show up just to break a table. You know, I mean, you have a lot of things like that. Also, nowadays, the government has kind of stepped in. Things like athletic commissions, you know, an example of that is we do our annual Tournament of Death, which for the hardcore wrestling fan that loves the violence, loves the gore and the blood and the craziness that is CZW and that professional wrestling, you know, alludes to, you know, we run that event in Delaware. Well, this year, Delaware stated that every single person who gets into that ring needs to have blood tests, which I'm all about. I have no issue with that. But you got to understand, every blood test, you get an HIV, a hepatitis B, a hepatitis C, a surface AG. The list goes on and on what they require. All those things cost money. So you start looking at it about $300 a pop. You know, per guy, that's a $300 investment. Whoa. That also includes your ring announcer who steps into the ring, referees. So you're roughly looking at about a $5,000 to $6,000 investment before you've even ran a show. You know? Yeah, so those are things that, you know, while they're good for about 6 months, you know, and you can kind of, you know, take advantage of that, just the startup of that cuts into any profits you're going to make, anything that before your payroll, before you buy T-shirts or advertisement or rent a truck or anything like that. There are athletic commissions like State of Pennsylvania. They take 5% off of your gate. So every dollar you make, they get 5 cents.
Whoa.
You know, and this is law. This is not nothing. It's not a fact. You can go on Google. You can, you know, you can just research at Pennsylvania State Athletic Commission. You know, Delaware, it's combative sports. Every state, not every single state, but I'd say the majority of them now have those things. And it becomes a business decision. Do you want to run these shows or do you want to stay in business? Because if you're not in business, you know, you can't do that. You know what I mean? If you don't have the money, you can't spend it. You know, if you can't afford to go out and splurge, then you're not going to be able to go out and splurge. You know, if you don't have the money in the bank to eat out, it just can't happen. You know, the other thing is kind of, yeah, I do want to see the product go in a different direction. I want those matches storyline-based. You know, people just want to see the violence for the sake of violence. Tournament of Death is kind of like that, but it's not. It's a championship that you're going over. There's a purpose for it. There's guys that are vying to be saying, hey, look, I am the greatest deathmatch wrestler in the world. You know, everything else, I want it to be storyline-driven. We're not just going to go, okay, we're going to go out here, and these guys, oh, they've never wrestled here, so let's go out here and, you know, here's some barbed wire boards. Use this stuff tonight. No. You know, there has to be a reason for it, a purpose. You know, I mean, it's A wrestler wrestles B wrestler. A wrestler, you know, wins the match. B wrestler has a problem. He attacks him. They wrestle again. A wrestler beats B wrestler again. This time, B wrestler's so upset that, you know, A wrestler is wrestling C wrestler. He runs in, puts the guy through a table. Now we have a tables match. You know, there's an attrition for it. There's a reason that it has to happen. And that's kind of what I've gotten to and built with storylines. I mean, some of the other thing is just the talent pool. I mean, nowadays for the hardcore wrestlers, there's the old guys, the guys that were ECW that have been around for 20-plus years, and they're kind of disappearing because of attrition and injuries and their bodies and so forth and so forth. And then there's the guys that are at the top of their game, the guys that are in CZW that do this style. But then there's guys that, you know, they're not good. They're just, you know, they don't have the talent to go out there and tell a story in a match or have people connect with them where they want to pay X amount of dollars to come see them. That's why they're not in CZW. That's why they're not getting bookings at other promotions. That's why they're not, you know, known. You know, that nobody in this business really knows who they are. You know, and they're trying to get to a place like a CZW, but there's really not a lot of other companies out there anymore that do this style and that have hybrid wrestlers. I mean, our CZW world champion is Masada. And, I mean, Masada's also, you know, he's a Dragon Gate wrestler. He's an Evolve wrestler. He's been to Japan. He's been to Europe. You know, this is a guy that can do it all. You know, and there's not a lot of guys that can do that anymore, and it's kind of went down. So there's a lot of reasons, you know, why that is happening.
Now, as part of the reason with all the costs and all the regulations that are put on you now, you have these Tournament of Death outside at the, I believe it's your farm, which I find fascinating. Is that part of the reason that you decided to have those there?
I mean, obviously the reason, I mean, I don't, it's my parents' farm. The reason we have it there is obviously because it's family, it's a free cost, and, you know, it's also a place where we, you know, you're not going to run into a lot of problems. Tournament of Death in the past has been held at some places, you know, off highways and things like that. You don't have that problem there. You know, it's kind of like Woodstock, you know. It's a big outdoor festival out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, and that's some of the jokes, you know, they call it Deathstock. And, you know, and people come and they, you know, they have fun. And the people that want to see that type of product, you know, they enjoy themselves. They come out, you know, with a bunch of their friends. They get to see some wild, crazy wrestling. Maybe have a couple drinks, eat a couple hot dogs and hamburgers, buy a DVD and a T-shirt, and just, you know, go home with, man, did you see that? That was crazy. And, you know, oh, man, I had so much fun, and I've never seen something like that. And that's kind of why it's out there. You know, there's also no, you know, there's not people right on top, you know, neighbors, people that complain about noise, you know, from the, you know, speakers and things like that. So it's very convenient, but obviously business reasons. I mean, obviously my family owns it. They're not charging me a great deal to run there. You know, it's not like I'm paying, you know, thousands of dollars for a building. So,
Now, one question with these ultraviolet shows that you have, there is more frequency for injury. Of course, in the past, Nick Gage injury where he almost died. How do you feel? I mean, is there a certain sense of responsibility you have for that sort of thing if somebody does get seriously injured on one of these shows?
Well, I will tell you that there is a sense of responsibility. That's why CZW does. We do have our own full staff doctor who stitches, staples, everything, guys for free. We also have two EMTs on site with an ambulance, which is now required by the state, which CZW pays full staff for. Like Nick Gage's incident kind of happened because the ambulance wouldn't come up there and get him. They were afraid the crowd was going to riot. But that's a whole other story for another day. But we do that. Most promotions, and I mean, I'm in those matches. You know, I do death match. You know, not only because I want to, but I'm talented at it, and I am in this company, and it's what I do. I've been seriously injured, but those are those things. Is there that sense? Yes, but you know what? I can take a pile driver and be paralyzed. I can take a body slam and lose all feeling. I mean, I've seen it happen to guys. You know, I've seen guys get knocked out, you know, just taking a clothesline. You know, I mean, knocked out legit. That danger is there no matter what you do. Professional wrestling is an art. There's always, always, always a chance of you getting seriously injured or even dying. Whether it be in a match with tables and chairs and glass or whatever, or being just a regular match. I mean, if you fans out there or guys that are in this business, there's no spring underneath that ring. You know, and even if there is, it ain't much. It's a pad that's about an inch thick, plywood or plank beams and steel. It's real. You fall on your head, you could die. Somebody could break your nose, you could die. You know, you can injure a rib, you can take a bad fall. You're jumping off the top rope, 3 or 4 feet up. I mean, people have died from dumber things. There is that risk at all times. And yeah, in the hardcore matches, there are those, but we also have the liability. We try to do our best to do that. You know, and one of the reasons why we do those matches is obvious that nobody in the last, you know, 10, 15, you know, since we were at the ECW arena could sell it out. Not even Ring of Honor with their TV taping. They were giving tickets away for free. Nobody would come there to the point that we would have to turn people away and the fire marshal would go, enough is enough. There's a reason why we do those shows, because they generate a lot of dollars and a lot of fans come out for them. And I don't know a lot of independent companies. Most independent companies draw about 100, maybe 150. You're talking tournament of deaths are drawing in the thousands. Cage of Death is selling out the ECW arena. There's not companies doing this. You know, I mean, companies do have big shows. And this is not by, you know, what I mean by this, this also isn't a company that's bringing in, you know, a guy that's a name. We're not bringing John Morrison in to try and draw fans. We're not bringing in, you know, a Balls Mahoney or a New Jack. We're doing this with CZW guys. We're doing this with the top independent wrestlers in the business that are the best at what they do. And I mean, that's what we are, you know. And these matches, they have that aspect of where you can get hurt with a regular match. I mean, I've seen guys get, you know, carted out ambulance on regular matches. I mean, you've seen stuff happen on WWE TV. I mean, it happens. You know, and they're nowhere near what we're doing, but it happens. But you've also seen Mick Foley get thrown off the top of a, you know, Hell in a Cell, which is a good 20 foot up through a single table, and get up and come back. You know, it's not really much different than what we're doing now.
Do you think the independent scene has lost a little ground the last few years, especially with now that you closed ECW Arena? Do you think there's less demand, or is business still up?
I will say that independent wrestling is hurting because wrestling just in general, because it's independent wrestling and wrestling in general's own fault. Right now, I view things, and a lot of the top wrestling people in the business view things as there's five top independent promotions that are independent wrestling promotions, and that's what they do. There's CZW, there's Ring of Honor, there's Dragon Gate Evolve, the same company, there's Shikara, and there's Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. Above that, 95% of what's out there is either what is, you know, name feds, where, like, I'll give you an example of that, is like a place like Pro Wrestling Syndicate or ECWA. Okay, both places I have worked for and have done great business, and they're great companies. But, like, ECWA will bring in, you know, someone like The Cat or someone like Sonny or, you know, a Tommy Dreamer, or PWS will bring in, you know, Demolition and Mr. Belding, you know, and guys like that. Those are your draws. You know, a Northeast Wrestling, they're bringing Hulk Hogan in for one of their shows. Hogan's the draw. The guys on the show that are under Hulk Hogan are not the guys that most people are paying to see. Those five top independents, that's what they do. They have their roster, they have independent wrestling guys, and they draw on that, and that's what they are. The reason I think the business is so bad and down and that it has taken such a hit is because a lot of things were not controlled over the last couple of years, and a lot of things got out of hand. ECW kind of started that, but when ECW was on top, there wasn't a Ring of Honor. There wasn't a Chikara. There wasn't an Evolve at CZW, all running in the same area. You know, there's so much competition now. You know, a guy, a top independent guy right now that is a CZW mainstay is Sami Callihan. He's one of the best wrestlers in the world, all right? He's, you know, he's worked for WWE. He's probably not going to be on the independents much longer. But this guy, you can see him at PWS. You can see him at Evolve. You can see him at CZW. You can see him so many places that he's not a draw now. That it's not like, okay, well, why do I want to go to CZW? I can see him, you know, down the street next week, you know, for at NWA Force One. And then you also have the people that aren't trained in this business. Hey, guys, you guys have never wrestled in your life, or I really don't know that, but some of you guys have probably never taken a bump. You've never booked a show.
Nope.
But hey, man, you can go to highspots.com right now. You can buy a wrestling ring. You can rent a building. You can book wrestlers, and you can call yourself a promoter. You know, you could even call yourself a wrestler because they sell wrestling gear, wrestling boots, and a lot of guys nowadays have done that. And you know what? People will come, and they'll believe that's what wrestling is. And it dilutes the business. I mean, I'm from this area, but, I mean, if you look just in New Jersey and New York alone, there's at least 15 different NWA affiliates. I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, there's NWA Dog, NWA New Jersey, NWA Fire. I mean, just, and they all run in the same area. Well, it's all the same people on the shows, but they're all running, like, why do I want to go see NWA Dog when I can see, you know, Tommy Cairo on NWA Fire, you know, on next week for $5 less, you know?
It kind of
dilutes it. And the business has kind of got out of control, you know? I mean, I hate to say this because I know I'm going to get criticized by wrestling fans, but marks run the business nowadays. The internet, you know, has killed the business. I mean, it hasn't really killed it. It's a positive, but it's also a negative. I mean, guys, you want to watch any CZW wrestling show right now, the prime source of the money that we make is on DVD sales. Well, guess what? There's wrestling torrents out there. You can watch it for free. I know. I mean, I've been on them.
No, they're not.
You know, the days of the tape traders and stuff, that's gone. Or even, do you want to spend $20 to come to a show or watch it for free? Okay, I'll watch it for free because the economy sucks and I don't have any money and I'm kind of poor. So why would I want to go to watch it, you know, and spend $20 and, you know, gas to go there and tolls probably and then buy a hot dog and a beer and, you know, and then probably go out to, I don't know, Tony Luke's afterwards or something like that? I mean, you're gonna end up spending about $50 just on yourself just to go to some indie show that you could sit at home and watch it yourself, you know, for free. So guys now don't want to do that, you know. The internet also has the message boards and the you know, the places like that, and the guys that are promoters now listen to them, and that's not really like I'm trying to knock people. Like, people that are fans trying to tell, oh, you should do this, or this guy should be the champion, or that guy should have won that match, or why is Sami Callihan not the CZW world champion? Look, I'll tell you why, because I'm the booker and I say so. Why do I say so? Because it tells a good story. It tells a good story later. I don't tell my doctor how to be a doctor. I don't tell the guy who works on my car how to fix my car. You know why? Because I don't freaking know how to do it because I'm not a trained professional, you know. I'm not. It's plain and simple. Like, you guys are on the radio. I've never, not once, held a radio show. So I'm not going to tell you guys how to do your job. You know, because I'm not trained to do that. I have no experience. I might think, oh, well, this is right. And why don't these guys, you know, cue in faster or hit this button or, I don't know, play a plug here. You know what? Hey, I don't know that. It's like guys trying to be Howard Stern and trying to tell Howard Stern what to do. No offense. He's Howard Stern. He's the man. He's getting paid $500 million on Sirius Satellite Radio to make money. And I know I use him as an example because I was listening to him before I called. But, hey, man, I pay $12 a month just to listen to Stern, you know, because he's Stern. I'm not going to tell Howard Stern how to be a radio host. You know, my doctor, I pay my doctor a hell of a lot of money because I don't know how to stitch myself up. When I'm sick, I don't know how to make myself better. Because they can tell me what I have, you know. I don't do that. And the message boards and the internet, there are a lot of people out there that like they've never taken a bump. They've never trained one day. They've never said, okay, you know what? I think I know better. You know, okay, if you know better, put your money into a company, go out, buy a ring, rent a building, book talent, and draw fans and prove me wrong. Because there's a lot of guys that try that. There's tons of guys that try that, and then what ends up happening? Oh, well, they fold, or they just don't have money, or they don't run shows all the time. Hey, I don't know, man. CZW's been doing it for, you know, over 13 years now, and we've run shows in England, Germany, Japan. You know, we got shows coming up in Mexico and Canada and all across the United States, and we're not drawing, you know, 100 people or 50 people. We're maintaining about 300 on average, 350, and in our big shows, we're selling buildings out. We have marquee events. We sell more DVDs than 90% of the people in the business. I don't know, man. Look at our product. We're doing innovative things like WrestleCon, which I'd love to talk about. You know, Cage of Death, that's a show that nobody else has. You know, we have one of the most prestigious tournaments. We have some of the best independent wrestlers in the world, like a Sami Callihan, like an Adam Cole. You know, we have guys that are in WWE developmental that have come through CZW and actually been trained here. I think we're doing something pretty good. So, I mean, I think those are the reasons why the business is the way it is. And I'm sorry, I go on a rant when I talk about this. I really apologize.
No.
Because I just realized how long I've been talking about it. But
hey, is there anybody that you and the other companies you mentioned, do you watch the other companies still? And is there anybody anywhere on the East Coast or in the country that you would love to book on a show?
I watch just about everything. We work hand-in-hand with Dragon Gate Evolve pretty well, as well as some of the female companies that we've been doing business with. A couple of guys that I personally want to look at that are not main stage guys, I mean, guys that are at a Ring of Honor or PWG or something like that. There's a kid right now who recently has been coming up. He wrestled for CZW at Best of the Best this year. He recently wrestled for Chikara and Ring of Honor on their last pay-per-view, and his name's ACH. I think ACH has got a ton of talent. I mean, he's a kid that he's from St. Louis. He lives in St. Louis. That he's actually going to be booked on our next show in New Jersey. And, I mean, he's a guy that I think is going to become a big star on the independent. Another guy is Pepper Parks. Pepper Parks is all the potential in the world, trained by Les Thatcher. He's got the look, the talent. I mean, it's just there. I just don't think he's got the opportunity on a bigger stage to really, really break out. And there's a lot of girls out there, too, that I think, you know, I think Nevaeh is going to become a huge star. I mean, we recently started using her. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that I think could be that, but those are three people that I think right now are going to be the people that are the ones to watch. I mean, there's a couple other guys here and there I personally like. I just don't think they fit into what I'm doing. Like at ECWA, there's about two guys there. I like Papa Don. I think Papa Don's got a lot of talent. I like his. I think Keikoa's got an immense, I mean, he's a young, young kid. I mean, he's like 22. I mean, that kid in 3 years is going to be so good. You know, there's a couple guys from New York, you know, but some of these guys have already had some good exposure. And, you know, it's just a matter of time before you start seeing them popping up in the CZWs and the Ring of Honors of the world.
Nice.
Of course, coming up this Saturday at the farm is your match versus Prima. It's the second in a series of matches. Of course, the first was Tangled Web. Now is Redemption. It's the Squared Circle of Fear. There's going to be no cams. The ropes are taken down. Barbed wire will be put up. What are your thoughts going into that match?
This is a match that has not been done in over 10 years. The last time that CZW attempted this match was Wife Beater's last match. This is over 10 years ago at this point. This is a long time since we've tried something like this. This is a marquee main event match against, I mean, as a wrestler, I mean, personally, I'm nervous. I'm scared, you know. I don't want to get hurt no more than the next guy. I don't like barbed wire. I don't like any of that stuff. You know, I'm there, you know, beat Matt's ass, pretty much. Apologize for the language. But it's something that's going to be a spectacle. And And the Tangle Web is one thing, and the Tangle Web is different. CZW innovates every year. The Tangle Web is different. The Cage of Death is different. Different design every year. It's something that, you know, you must witness. And we wanted, you know, I wanted to give fans something special as a main event, as the owner, and as, you know, as the booker. And storyline-wise, this is all going to play into a factor that's, you know, long-term. As fans have been following CZW, you know, me and Matt have kind of had an ongoing issue for over a year and a half. You know, and now it's starting to get to the point where, you know, it's getting very violent. And, you know, it's a match that in my head, it's scary, and it's something you got to think about. And this is a match that retired a man that was a deathmatch legend. Like, it retired him. It was, I cannot do another match after. But at this point, between me and Matt, it's this extreme. Matt, you know, he was a guy sitting front row. You know what I'm saying? And like I said earlier, I'm not going to let some mark or some fan jump over the guardrail and think they can beat me. I'm one of the best wrestlers in the world. Whether you think so or not, I really don't care. But my credentials speak for themselves. I've wrestled everybody and beat them. I've wrestled CM Punk, and I have beat them. I've wrestled Bryan Danielson, and I have beat him. Well, I'm sorry. Bryan Danielson to me. All right? I wrestled Bryan Danielson and beat him. You know, I've wrestled the great John Zandig. I've been to Japan. You know what I'm saying? I haven't been beaten in Japan. In my 11 tours there, I have not lost a single match. Okay? I have main evented shows all across the world. You know, I have done stuff that most people can't even fathom. Now, Matt, he was a guy sitting front row where his family still sits. Okay? And he wants to try and come and prove something. Okay? He wants all these fans that love him so much, and while they hate me and think I'm such a prick and a douchebag, all right, that's fine and dandy. But facts are facts. He's still just a fan. He's not going to jump over and beat me. And he has this dream in his head that he's going to go on and main event Cage of Death and live the WrestleMania dream and the CZW. You know, you want to, as a wrestling fan, you know, you kind of, your dream is always, I'm going to main event WrestleMania. Well, he's a CZW fan. He wants the main event, the biggest independent show there is, Cage of Death, and be in that cage. Well, he hasn't earned it. He's still just a kid. He's still just somebody who sat front row and bought tickets. All right? And far be it for him to come in and beat someone like me. And so far, he still hasn't done that. I beat him in Tangle Web. I beat him every time we've been in the ring for every company we've wrestled for. And nothing's going to change. I'm going to beat him again. You know, and Matt's going to have to realize he got 130 stitches from that Tangle Web. 130.
Jesus. All
right? What do you think I'm going to do in this environment? I'm 6'4". Hey, if that's what I got to do, if I have to take him out, I will take him out. You know, but I'm 6'4". I am 270 pounds. All right, I'm a bad, bad son of a bitch, and I've been in the ring with the toughest men in the world. I've been in the ring with guys from Japan. I've been in the ring with the Necro Butchers, the Masadas. I've gone toe to toe with the great deathmatch guys, the wife beaters and the Zandigs and the Nick Gages and everybody up and down everywhere, and I've beaten them all. So for Matt to come in and think that he's gonna, you know, do this, hey, I understand. The fans love him. That's great. That's cool, man. They don't have to like me. I'm the boss. You know, I'm the prick that doesn't give them the blood or doesn't make them happy or cost them. Hey, I do what's best for business. I do what's best for CZW. And the simple fact is that it's obvious that I'm best for them. And Matt's just going to have to realize that. He's just going to have to follow suit just like everyone else.
Now, I had one more and this is for owner DJ Hyde. I have one more question for you. Very curious. Is there anything in the 3 years since you've been running the show that you would have changed, done differently at all?
Oh, yeah. There's lots of stuff I would have done differently. I mean, I make mistakes. There are things that are not prevented that I kind of have done because of emotional things. You know, I have a lot of faith in God. Like, this CZW, like, the guys that work for me and the guys that go out there and they bleed, and they don't just bleed for me. They bleed yellow and black. They're my family. Like, outside of wrestling, I used to have, you know, before I got into the wrestling business, I had friends all over the place. Like, I mean, I couldn't walk down the street and not know somebody. Now, I have CZW. These are my best friends are these wrestlers. The people that I confide in are these wrestlers. And sometimes, you know, people kind of, you know, you get a hard-on for something and you get stuck on something. You know, I've made mistakes that way. You know, because I know how this business works, and sometimes my emotions and other people, what other people have convinced me to do, you know, get carried away from me. I've made some mistakes. I've made some business decisions that I wasn't always happy about, or that, you know, cost us money in the long run that I was like, well, that was dumb. You know, why did we do that? Or let guys do things that I probably shouldn't let them do, you know. I mean, that happens. I mean, that happens on all levels. You know, it could have been like, you know, guys that, hey, I wish I just would have changed this. There are matches that, you know, man, I wish I would have did this instead of did that, you know, because this would have worked so much better or whatever. It's that way in business. You know, we've invested in a lot of things. Like, we have a reality show pilot that cost $10,000. You know, we've had the pilot for 2 years. You know, Spike TV was very, very interested, but they pretty much said, hey, if we want wrestling, we're going to go to Eric Bischoff. I understood that. You know, and people, if they want wrestling, they're going to go to WWE or TNA because those are what is predominant. They're not going to, you know, go to some indie. Like that micro championship wrestling with the midgets, that's Hulk Hogan. Eric Bischoff produced it. It's basically the same format that we pitched years ago. You know, I mean, but it was a huge, I mean, it was $10,000. It's a lot of money. You know, I bought guardrails that were fairly light because we've traveled and we want to go on the road more and kind of do things. Well, when guys are hitting guardrails, they destroy them. And then, it's, you know, and I go, well, you know, man, I should have bought the super heavy-duty, you know, iconic steel ones. You know, I mean, that was something I was talking about today. Or, you know, there's a lot of guys that I've sent places that maybe they didn't deserve to go and somebody else did, you know, like Japan or Europe. You know, like this, like we're going on our European tour here in October, and besides myself and Masada, everybody that's gone has never been. So, and these are all guys that deserve to go, you know, and that really need to be there. Now, me and Masada's my world champion, and I'm, you know, obviously the owner, and I'm one of the predominant figures. I'm probably one of the top guys, top heels, bad guys, whatever you want to call me, in the company, and I'm pretty overseas, so, you know, it'll make us money. But, you know, there are things advertising. Like, right now, we have two opportunities to go back on television. And right now, I don't know if I want to do it. Because every time we go on TV, it's a lot of work, it's a lot of money, and you got to kind of go, well, where is this coming from? Who's going to do this? Are we going to get this in time? Is it going to generate into the dollars that we're hoping? You know, we have our Wired podcast, which is kind of a TV product now. You know, is that going to generate in getting fans to follow our storylines and see what realistically is going on? You know, are we going to invest money into the website? Like, one of the new things that we're doing is we're opening a new store coming in November, like CZW, and fans are going to, like, if you want a CZW shirt with a logo, like a basic logo shirt, you're going to be able to get that in any color you want, and it's going to be print on demand. You know, WrestleCon, which is a huge thing that's coming up WrestleMania weekend. You know, first time anything's really been tried like this. It was a concept that myself and Gabe Sapolsky came up with, and, you know, we really spirited, but the amount of money and the work and the time and stuff that's actually going to go into that, it's going to take a toll on a lot of people, you know, and are we going to be able to generate the kind of dollars we need to pay the bill? And, I mean, yes, while it will be a huge event and it's going to be something that's, you know, not really been done where you've got, you know, five of the top independent wrestling companies under one building with legends, you know, conventions, the whole nine, literally 2 miles away from WrestleMania at the, you know, Meadowlands Expo Center this year. It's a big deal. Is it going to be worth the investment? You know, that was a decision that, hey, I could have turned that down. I didn't have to invest in that. And that's something that I'm not going to know until after. But we've made a lot of things,
right,
you know,
right,
like that. Like, we've done business with some places that, you know, has not worked out well. You know, and just, you know, it was something like, do I really want to do business with this guy? You know, hey, sometimes there are things that I was going, well, I wish I would have did that. And that's going to happen all the time. You know, even booking-wise, you can never foresee, you know, like Sami Callihan's one of the best wrestlers in the world. So is Adam Cole. Both of these guys are not going to be on the independents by next year. They're going to be signed to WWE, whether they're at FCW or whatever. They're going to have contracts at those places. Do I want to build a major storyline around Sammy and then him go, hey, man, I got a contract. I can't be here? Maybe, you know. I mean, it's already happened. Jon Moxley, or as Dusty calls him, Dean Ambrose. You know, he's the guy that Dusty likes Dean. That's what Moxley tells me. Dusty likes Dean. I saw Moxley on Tuesday. SmackDown was in Philadelphia. You know, we hung out. We talk all the time. But he was the guy that was like, this was the guy I was building my company around. You know, this was the guy that I believe, you know, we made him the heavyweight champion. We gave him a great run. We were putting him in there to be the guy. Like, this was the CM Punk or the John Cena. This was going to be the guy that we knew was going to draw us money. And WWE signed him, and he had 3 months, and, you know, plans happen. Or a guy like Egotistico Fantastico, he gets injured and blows out his quad. You know, I mean, these are things that's like, oh, my God, why did I make this decision to try and build this around? Now we got to shift in a different direction and change everything. And realistically, that's not something that's really easy to do. And some of the decisions I made were, you know, do I go with Sammy or did I go with Ego? I went with Ego for a reason. But now I'm looking back at it, I wish I would have went with Sammy. You know what I mean? So, 'cause Ego's not here anymore. And that's just how it is. So.
Now, of
Sorry,
course,
I ran it again.
It's fine. It's fine. Of course, where can people follow you and the company on the social media networks and, of course, the websites?
You can follow me in a lot of places. You can follow me at Facebook at DJ Hyde 1, the number 1, at Facebook.com. Or you can follow me at Twitter at DJ Hyde _1. On Twitter, you can follow Combat Zone on Facebook at Combat Zone, Facebook.com, or you can follow us on Twitter at Combat Zone. And, you know, you can always go to CZWrestling.com, catch up on the latest podcasts, results, wrestlers, check out their bios, see what's going on, news articles, you name it, we've got it there. You know, or you can even contact me, you know, via email at any time. I love hearing from fans. At DJHyde@CZWrestling.com.
Okay, sounds good. So, of course, Saturday's the next date. That's Redemption, headlined by Matt Trema and DJ Hyde. DJ, I want to thank you for coming on the show tonight.
Thank you guys for having me. I love being on.
Okay, we'll definitely set it up again for another time, but you have a great night, sir.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Nice. So that was DJ Hyde, everyone.
he needs to write a book, like, now.
Yeah, great interview. Went a little long, but what I'm going to do now is get right to Mike Kaner, of course.
Right to him.
That's right. No segue needed for Mike Kaner. That's what I say. Of course, this Saturday we're going to have the Dreams Project. Not Saturday, Sunday. And he's going to tell us a little bit more about that.
Wrong date.
If I can, there we go. Now, Mike,
hello.
Welcome to the show. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I'm just listening to DJ talk.
Okay.
Yeah, you love to do that.
So where were you?
Now, this Sunday, there's a big Dreams Project show. First of all, tell people what the Dreams Project is, and then let them know a little bit about the show.
Well, to sum it up, long story short, Steve Perino had an opportunity to do basically a camp show at a local community center in Birdsboro, Pennsylvania, basically all kids. It was something he's always wanted to do, something I believe in, where to give back to a community, to perform for the kids, kind of goes hand in hand with a lot of the anti-bullying campaigns that are out there and things of that nature, believe in yourself, you know, and to make kids feel good about themselves and see, you know, do that through, you know, physical training and wrestling and seeing, you know, everything that can come from it and be able to essentially achieve your dreams. And the show was so good and so well received that the community wanted to bring it back. So that's how the Dreams Project got started. And so that's what we're going to do on Sunday night. Bell time 6:30 at the Birdsboro Community Center is we're going to put together a show that I'm looking at the lineup right now, and even I'm blown away by it.
Well, let's go into it. What's on that lineup?
All right. Well, the main event is the first time ever. It's going to be great. It's going to be the Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Champion is going to come in, Kevin Steen, against former ECW, Intercontinental, you name it, he's held it, Shane Douglas. Shane Douglas is going to be managed by Rob Dimension that night. It's not for the Ring of Honor title, not yet anyway. It might be. Who knows? There is some talk with Jim Cornette about maybe seeing if that could be done. But right now it's a non-title match. But just the fact that Kevin Steen is going to be wrestling Shane Douglas that night is going to be fantastic. Absolutely.
Okay, what else is on that card? Because just the match alone is pretty good.
Yeah, that alone I think is worth the price, as Gorilla Monsoon would say, that alone is worth the price of admission. But not only do we have that, but coming off of his fresh off his Ring of Honor Tag Team title win, Steve Corino, the King of Old School himself, will be taking on one half of the Midnight Sensations coming off his ECWA and TWA Unified title win, Chris Rockwell. And another match that one that I'm looking forward to because I helped train one of these gentlemen, obviously not the one you'll recognize, but Delirious from Ring of Honor, head trainer at the Ring of Honor School. He's going to be taking on the American Tiger. This kid is a kid coming up through the ranks. Some people will recognize him, some people won't, but I had a hand in training him, and he's a hell of a talent, and him and Delirious are going to have an incredible match. They're going to fly all over the place. Grizzly Redwood's going to take on Gran Akuma from Chikara, and there's going to be a Dreams Choice 4-Way. Basically, the winner's going to receive a match of their choice the next show. Ruthless Ryan Sawyer, Dennis Reaper, James Justice, and Alexander Byrd. And another match that I'm looking forward to, another one of my students, Kid USA, my pride and joy, somebody I've actually given my namesake to pretty much. He's going to be facing a guy that has trained the likes of Tom Brandy, who in turn trained Steve Corino. Kid USA is going to take on King Kalua in a match that I'm sure Kid USA is going to get quite an education that night. In a USA versus Canada match, Alex Anthony is going to take on Ken Phoenix. And there will also be a monster will be in the house as a two will face, will be in a two-on-one handicap challenge.
Oh, boy.
We got a couple surprises that are going to happen that night. Kevin Steen will be signing autographs from 6 to 6:30. There'll be two pre-show matches from 5:30 to 6. And also, just announced the other day, Mr. USA Tony Atlas will be in the house. He's not going to be wrestling, but he will be signing autographs from 5 to 6.
Okay, that sounds like a... Now, where is this again?
All right, this is going to take place, and I can give you the address to the building, and then I'll give you the website address. This will take place at the Birdsboro Community Center, 201 East Main Street in Birdsboro, Pennsylvania, 19508. Bell times at 6:30. We promise you that, and this is something that's not done very often, but we promise you we're going to try to get the show over by 9 o'clock because we know it's a Sunday evening, and you know all the children and such got to get up early for school. So, we're going to try to get this show in and out. Doors open at 5, bell times at 6:30. We're going to try to get everything in and out by 9 o'clock.
Okay. And that website address?
Okay, website address is www.doyouliveyourdreams.com. One word.
Okay, that certainly sounds like a great show. Mike, thanks for stopping by and letting us know about that. That, again, is Sunday at the Birdsboro Community Center, was it?
That is correct.
Okay, so Mike, thanks for stopping by yet again, and you have a great night, and we'll talk soon.
You do the same, guys. Thank you very much.
Okay, so nice. That
sounds like a good event, man.
Yeah, it sounds like a packed card.
It's a great card, man.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks to Mike for stopping by. That's for sure. It's time for fan mail. So,
yeah.
Let me play the theme music. Robert has quite the announcement to make tonight. All right. Good evening, Robert. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'd hate to tell you, it's not Robert. Robert seems to be a little tied up at the moment.
What is this nonsense?
Oh, no.
American Roughneck, what's going on? Where's Robert right now?
I mean, yay.
Robert's a little tied up at the moment. He's not going to be able to join you this evening. So, how can I help you guys?
Well, apparently he had this big announcement. I'm a little curious as to what's going on.
Yeah, do you have any information? Not that I'd rather not talk to you, sir.
Big information. Let me look around. Big information.
Now, wait a second. While you're doing that, I do want to bring on Brady Hicks, of course, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributing writer. I do want to bring him on. We've been talking all day about the Frank Cruda situation. I want to see if he has any updates first. Is that okay, Roughneck, if I do that?
Sure, go ahead. I'm looking for what I have laying around here.
Okay, so I'm going to bring on Brady Hicks here.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Hey, Brady, how are you tonight? I just wanted to know if you knew anything about...
I thought it was a commercial.
Yeah, I did it first there. But I wanted to know if you know anything about Frank's current situation.
Well, here's the update that I got from his lovely wife, Dawn, earlier today. They have him walking around, which is a good sign, especially after a stroke, you know, just the fact that he's
able to do
that. Amazing. His left side is pretty weak, and he's also having some trouble with his left eye at this point. I don't know if that will change, if that's something we can improve. Right now they have him at the neuroscience medical facility near his house, but they're hopeful that they can transfer him to a rehabilitation center tomorrow afternoon. So, I mean, I guess that in itself is good news.
Yeah.
It's awful. It really is.
I mean,
you know, I felt like such a jerk because, I wasn't really a jerk because...
Well, you are, Brady.
On Saturday night, I mean, for those who don't know, he took a ride with us, with the Conclave guys. We went down to ECWA together, and, we had planned on going out to dinner with some people after the show, and he came to me about halfway through, and he said that he was starting to develop a migraine, and the biggest sign from him was the numbness in his left hand, and I thought, well, that's strange. I get headaches sometimes, and I've never had numbness, but I didn't say anything. I figure... He knows his own body or whatever, but, I mean, thank God I brought him right home, you know? I mean, that would have been awful for something to happen on Saturday night with him separated from his wife and everything. So.
Okay, so there's good news coming out of this. Do you want to stick around, Brady, while Roughneck reads this, this bit? Not Robert, Roughneck reads this big announcement.
Yeah, sure. No, I'm very curious what it is. I hope it has to do with New Moon.
We're certainly going to find out. Go ahead, Roughneck.
Well, I did find laying around this envelope that says New Moon Rising, a message from the board. So I'm guessing that's what Robert was supposed to read. So I guess I'll just get right into this. It states, we here at New Moon Rising Wrestling would like to thank everyone who entered our commentary contest. After reviewing each submission and much debate, we have decided to announce not one, but three winners of the contest.
Three winners, that's huge.
Three winners, it says.
Wow.
First, our new ring announcer. This man has volunteered to help us with ring crew, sound crew, and the other tasks that was needed to help get our shows off the ground. It wasn't until we opened our doors to the world did we know that he had a voice for live announcing. So without further delay, the official New Moon Rising Wrestling ring announcer is Cliff Light.
Cliff Light, the new ring announcer. That's huge news.
Wow.
I've been hearing a lot about this guy. I mean, I don't know him personally, but...
He is spectacular on the mic. I'm impressed. That was a good choice by the board. They don't do much right, but that was a good call.
That mysterious board of directors, of course.
Yeah.
Yes, that would be them. All right, shall I go on?
Yes, please.
Bread and butter, Dean.
Okay, while we were surprised to see two individuals work together and submitted as a team, we are excited to disclose that they work well together.
First man on
our two-man commentary team our internet TV show with the Proving Grounds is radio host and no other than the owner of the hottest wrestling network online, Mr. Brady Hicks. BradyHicks.com.
Oh my God,
Brady!
Well, congratulations, Brady. I'm glad to see you. You're in.
And I know what that means. Oh my God.
And I know what that means too.
Thank you. Keep going.
And his partner in the booth is a man who has been covering New Moon Rising Wrestling for almost from its inception. We are proud to welcome the host of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio, Double Dean Dixon, to the New Moon Rising Wrestling family. Well, I told you to get things right sometimes.
This is big news, people.
Wow, that's awesome.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Whoa. You guys went behind my back and submitted a tape all by yourselves?
It looks that way.
Why'd you just sleep with him?
We got together and got our creative talents together and made a tape, sent it in, and we're the winners, Brady.
Yeah, wow. I thought you might get an honorable mention, but wow. I'm blown away. Now, I'm not going to cry. Now, today is bittersweet, but now I'm not going to cry.
I am. I will.
Okay.
Why will you?
One half of that team, I'll cry. What is this?
What are you talking about, Roughneck? Come on.
Oh, come on. I understand Brady, but, you know, I do got to give it to you, Dean. You will probably be very good at this job. You're knowledgeable. You're personable, but you like Robert.
Great, and I'm just That's great.
Well, I still want to know what happened to Robert. We have to get into that.
Like I said, he's a little tied up at the moment.
He beat him up and tied him up. Are you that retarded?
I want to know what's going on.
I want to know what's going on. It's bullcrap. I quit.
Well, there you go.
Okay.
So, Omega Squad,
I
guess you're the number two now.
All right.
So Omega Squad is now promoted. He is on.
Yeah, that's right. He is number two.
Hey, but Brady, this is exciting news.
This is incredible.
The board made their decision. It was up to Robert to tell you, but he wasn't able to this evening. So you got me, which I think is a better deal anyway.
Well, Roughneck, I do want to know something.
Sure.
Of course, October 6th is this big tryout everyone's talking about for New Moon Rising Wrestling, a tryout if you want to be involved in wrestling. Do you have any more information about that?
Well, I know it's October 6th. It starts at 9 a.m. till it's going to be held in Deptford, New Jersey, and you can contact the board of directors via the New Moon Rising page. There's more information on that, and they'll be able to steer you in the right direction.
Okay. So, Roughneck, I do want to thank you definitely for coming on tonight. In Robert's absence, I still want to know what he's tied up with.
I want to know who you slept with to get this job.
Is Roughneck still there?
Roughneck is still here.
I just want to say thank you. First of all, Roughneck, thank you so much, man. I'm so excited to be doing this with you guys. And second of all, I'm excited to be having you on in the room next Tuesday night, September 25th. It's going to be a first time, but it's going to be great.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a good time. Anytime you have the Roughneck in the room, you can't help but have a party. So,
I love it. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Before you cut me free, since I am taking up Robert's spot, I am going to have to say, if one man can make a difference, then we the people can change the world.
We the people, Roughneck.
We the people.
That's right. So Roughneck, thanks for stepping in for Robert, and You have a great night, man.
All right. Enjoy, guys.
Okay, so that was the American Roughneck. Now, Brady.
You know, I'm very, you know, I bonded with the man, and this is the thanks I get.
The thanks you get? What are you talking about?
Exactly.
What are you talking about?
Well, Dan, maybe you can be like Josh Matthews.
Oh, that's, you know what? I've always strived in my life to be just like Josh Matthews.
Well, Matt Stryker.
At least he's, you know, bigger. I would kill to look like Matt Stryker. Not like Percy Pringle III.
Well, now that we're on the inside track, Brady, we can definitely, you know, talk more about the product. Maybe we'll be the first to break their first date.
No.
Well, since Brady comes on Tuesday.
You know. That's not what I meant.
One can only hope. But, it's a product that I've been interested in the few shows that I've been to. I think it's a growing promotion with a lot of potential. And I'm very happy to just follow your lead here and, just see where this coverage takes us. Because you've been doing a great job interviewing all those guys.
I'm more excited. I mean, not only does the company now have a top-notch, in my opinion, announce team, but they got a top-notch gopher, too. Go for this, go for that. That's me.
There you go. So you can definitely
And on top of that, in all seriousness, the rumblings I'm hearing when this date gets announced is going to be incredible.
A lot of talent. We can't talk about it yet, but should be... it should be quite the rebirth of this company.
And it's going to be big in independent wrestling. Big.
I think so. There's a lot of companies, of course. We cover a lot of companies here. But this is a product I certainly do believe in, and Brady does as well. Because if not, we would not have submitted probably what I feel is the best audio that we possibly could. Isn't
well,
that right,
obviously they thought so.
How do you feel about our tryout, Brady? How did you feel about that?
I have no idea how the competition was, obviously, but I thought we turned in a very good job. And I'll tell you what, I'll take it one step further. I think that we are the Gust. We are the greatest unsigned tandem today.
You're going to get hit again.
You probably will for that, Brady.
We are the greatest unsigned tandem today.
No,
hitting the other ear.
That's the gut. Never mind. We're the gut, not the gust. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. I was gonna let you just do it, but you corrected yourself. It's very good.
Okay. I had something for the S, but I don't remember what it was. So
stupid.
Now, Brady, you can. You're more than welcome to stick around. Jesus, Dan, calm down.
That's funny.
God damn. But you're more than welcome to stick around, Brady, because I'm going to bring on Craven Vero. He made his debut at PWS. Can you stick around, first of all, Brady?
Sure, absolutely, yeah.
Okay. So Craven Vero will be he made his debut just this past Saturday. Friday, actually, at the PWS show. So I'm going to bring him on right now. Going to get a few words from him, see how the debut went. Now, Craven, how are you doing tonight, sir?
Pretty good, man. How are you guys doing?
We are doing well. Thanks for there was a little bit of confusion there.
My bad.
The only person that we call is the Greek god Papadon. Maybe not now that he is not the champion of ECWA, but... that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
That's neither here nor there. Now, this past Friday at the PWS show, Saved by the Ring Bell, you had your debut. Now, how did that go? What type of match was it? What happened? Just give us a little bit there.
Man, it was absolutely amazing. It was basically a student's battle royal where everyone who's been training under Pat for the past 3 months got to make their debut on, you know, that huge stage. I mean, we had like over 1,000 people in attendance. Like, it was nuts. And have you seen the video of the event yet? Or
I have not. I have not.
Okay, well, you'll see when you watch. I mean, it's insane. The Battle Royal was great. You know, Pat's been working with us real hard and, you know, trying to make sure that we could put on the best show we could. And, you know, I think for, you know, a group of guys, you know, not just like, you know, you have a group of 20 guys and like five of them look good. I'd say, you know, in my opinion, and from the feedback we got, it went pretty well for a ring full of guys who've been in the ring for 3 months. You know, it's a battle royal. So it worked out pretty well, man. And then we had outsiders come in the beginning of the battle royal. It was mostly guys from New York Wrestling Connection. And actually, Lance Inouye or, you know, the famous Samoan family. I always say their name.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he was actually in it. He was one of the outsiders, Rex Lawless. I don't know if you know him. He was one of the outsiders. And we got rid of the outsiders pretty quick and then just went at it. And then came down to the Prince of Aesthetics, Damian Gibbs, and Destruction, Dave Sturch. And Destruction threw him over the top and won the Battle Royal.
There you go. So a good experience for you. Now, of course, you were trained by Pat Buck and Sammy Callahan. So what is that experience like, training under those guys?
It's great, man. I mean, it's Pat's there, you know, early every day. So if you want to get in there early, you know, he's always there to keep an eye on everything. He's always there. You know what I mean? He's not one of those guys who's like, all right, well, here's how you do this. Work on it. I'm going to go in the other room and do this. You know, like, he's not one of those kind of guys. Like, he's always there. He has an eye on everything. Like, he's very, very organized in how he wants everything to go. And he has a very, you know, visionized plan. And it's great. And then either Sammy or Jay Lethal will come in there as the other trainers. So I've got a lot of ring time with Jay. And, you know, I'm very thankful for that. Jay Lethal's awesome. And then Sammy and I actually live about 7 or 8 minutes away from each other. We both have to travel about an hour and a half up north to work at PWS. So Sammy, when I'm home, other than the 3 nights a week I train at PWS, we do Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, Sammy started, you know, making sure I was doing everything right at home. And, you know, making sure I'm eating right, making sure, you know, taking me to the gym with him. That kind of stuff. So, you know, that's helped me out a lot, too. You know, taking me to shows. Like, he took me damn near the Canadian border for a 2CW show just to get the experience of traveling with everyone. It was, like, me, him, Masada, and Chuck Taylor. It was really, really cool. And, you know, that was, like, my first experience traveling with anyone. And, you know, picture that. I was maybe training for a month and a half, maybe, and I'm traveling somewhere with Masada, Chuck Taylor, Sammy Callahan. It's like, thank God I joined PWS. You know what I mean? Like, there's nowhere else you're going to get that experience, get to work with Jay Lethal. And, you know, Joey Janela has been in there a lot. And it's just been awesome, man. Like, I'm starting to rant. But you're just asking me about the experience of PWS, right?
Experience of being trained underneath both Pat Buck and Sammy Callahan.
Yeah. I just want to make sure I'm not getting off topic. Like DJ said earlier, I have a tendency to rant as well. Man, it's amazing. Like, I definitely feel very lucky that, you know, I could have went a million places that are closer than PWS, you know, driving up to Raleigh. But I'm very, very thankful that I chose to train under Pat Buck.
Okay, now the next thing I want to know about is the next PWS show. Do you have any information about that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. It's going to be October 12th back at the Raleigh Rec Center, Raleigh, New Jersey. And we have Vader, managed by Paul Bearer, taking on Rikishi. And that'll be pretty cool. Kevin Matthews will be defending the belt that night. His opponent is a bit of a mystery at this point. So, you know, a lot of people are interested to see the follow-up of him retaining his belt against Sammy Callahan in the Falls Count Anywhere match this past Friday. Excuse me. And then, as far as the students go, all I know is that since it came down to the Prince of Aesthetics, Damian Gibbs, and Dave Destruction Sturch, that we're going to be doing a 5-on-5 tag team match, ten-man tag. It'll be Team Aesthetics against Team Destruction. And as far as the Battle Royal goes, me and Damian, you know, we teamed up the entire time, you know, we worked over Dave and everything. We worked over all the biggest guys in the Battle Royal. And then as soon as he could tell that there was just the slightest opening, he came up from behind, pushed me over the top rope.
Oh.
And, you know, Damien and I were going to work to win it, you know, just get down to me and him, and it's just down to me and you, one of us is going to win. And he dumped me out maybe like 7 minutes in. And what happened? He ended up getting thrown over the top rope by Destruction. So as far as which team I'm going to be on, I don't know yet. But I'll be cutting a promo pretty soon. Keep putting it on YouTube for everybody.
Okay.
We'll explain that a little better. But I'll
now,
announce which team I'm going to be on.
Where can people get tickets for this and find out more information about PWS?
Well, I'll be selling tickets. All the students will be selling tickets as of Monday. If anyone wants to get a hold of me, get a ticket from me. You can find me at Craven Barrow on Facebook or on Twitter at MetalGodPWS. Or you can just follow PWS. Obviously, you just Pro Wrestling Syndicate on Facebook. On Twitter, it's Pro Res Syndicate.
Okay.
And then you can follow Pat Buck at Buck Never Stops on Twitter, Pat Buck on Facebook. And, I mean, that should take care of it. You can get tickets to any of those places. You can get them at the rec center if you live up near that way. But if you live in South Jersey, hit me up. I'll get you a ticket.
Okay, sounds good. So best of luck coming up on October the 12th. That's, of course, at the Rahway Rec Center in Rahway, New Jersey. And thanks for stopping by, Craven.
Oh, absolutely. And just to add to that, Pat is also Pat and Eric Tapout, the owners of PWS. Just opened a brand new all women's company called Blow, Bombshell Ladies of Wrestling. And that's going to run the day before every PWS event. The first event is going to be October 11th. That's a Thursday at the Rahway Rec Center. It's going to be a Sweet 16 tournament. It's going to be 16 of the top female independent wrestlers competing in the tournament. The winner will be the first ever Blow champion. And then, obviously, if you're thinking about being a pro wrestler, I mean, I explained my experiences earlier. I would suggest going to PWS and talking to Pat Buck.
Okay. Couldn't said it better, but thanks again, man. We're definitely going to stay in touch.
Oh, absolutely, man. Thank you for having me. I'll come on any time, and I'll be seeing your shows again soon.
Yeah, that's for sure. You have a good night, man.
All right. Thank you. You too.
Okay, so that was Craven Vero. PWS trainee under Pat Buck and none other than Sammy Callahan, who is, I've heard, the best independent talent today.
Did you say Sammy Callahan?
I did say Sammy Callahan.
No, I mean, it's worth noting for this guy. Well, actually, for everybody coming up in PWS, that's one of those companies that really goes out of the way to bring in the top talent. So it's got to be quite a learning experience to, like, be in that locker room and see guys like Matt Hardy or Vader or Tito Santana, you know?
Yeah, quite the learning experience. And just that car ride with the CZW World Champion, Masada, Chuck Taylor, and Sammy, and you're a month into the business, so quite the story that Craven told us. Right now, Brady, we're going to get into UFC 152, so you're more than welcome to, I know you don't watch UFC, but you're more than welcome to stick in there because we're going to get Night of Champions talk, and I know you have a few things to say about that as well. But Omega.
Yes, sir.
UFC 152 coming up this Saturday. We have the main event of John Jones taking on Vitor Belfort. How do you see that one going down?
Well, I think we've talked about it ad nauseum, but I mean, this is UFC. Vitor Belfort has a puncher's chance. He does hit very hard, but he's got to come out and he's got to just jump on Jones quick before Jones gets settled and get him knocked out. Otherwise, it's a quick night. I think John Jones takes this. And I think that's the more likely scenario, is John Jones just uses his length, uses his speed, uses his wrestling, and just takes out a well-traveled Belfort at this point.
Yeah, so the undercard, yeah. Now, my thoughts on that main event is it's kind of disingenuous of UFC to try to make this seem that it's going to be this great main event. We already saw Vitor Belfort get in the cage with somebody like a John Jones with Anderson Silva. A very quick night, as you said. Now, it's just a disingenuous main event. They tried to scramble together, and this is the best they had. I don't know. I see it very quick. I see John Jones dominating and, you know, knockout in round two. That's how
I
see it.
If it takes that long.
Yeah, round two is being generous, quite frankly, because Belfort will just go out there swinging and most likely miss.
I really think that's his only shot. I mean, he's got a ground game, too, but, I mean, he's got to be able to use it. So.
He looked really bad. Who was that guy? He's not with UFC anymore. It was his last fight in UFC. It was Belfort against this guy. Who was it? Do you remember? The lay and prayer guy. But whoever it was, he was there. So I'm not sure. I just don't like it. So the undercard, what's going on there, Omega?
Well, I mean, the undercard, the co-main event is for the inaugural UFC Flyweight Championship. Joseph Benavidez versus Demetrius Johnson.
So Demetrius Mighty Mouse, Johnson, who got in there on a wing and a prayer. Of course, their first fight, March 2nd, was his first fight against Uncle Creepy, I believe it was, ended in a draw. Then they had a rematch. Demetrius Johnson wins, and now he's in the finals for this. Who do you see winning? Do you think it's but Benavidez, you really can't say anything bad about him either.
No, you really can't. He's a very fast, very precise striker. He seems to have all those things that he seems to have the counter to everything Demetrius Johnson has. He's just as fast as Mighty Mouse. He's got better boxing, better power. And, you know, what this should be, it still should be a great fight because these guys move so fast and they're so just athletic. They could just able to just keep that pace up for just ungodly amounts of time. It should be a really great fight. I think it's going to come down to Benavidez is just better right now. That being said, Demetrius Johnson has improved every fight we've seen him since he lost to Dominic Cruz in the featherweight division. Or the bantamweight division, sorry. He's gotten better. We saw that draw with Ian McCall, Uncle Creepy. The second fight, much better wrestling, much better striking. If he comes and has evolved far enough, he's got as good a chance as anything. I mean, I think he's got a good chance here. I mean, he's not a huge underdog in this fight. I think he's still got the possibility to catch Bina and Benavidez, take him down and pound him out. But I think Benavidez is going to be just too quick, just too elusive, and I think Benavidez is going to take this probably by decision.
Fair enough. You think it's going to go to decision?
Yeah, I think it is. Benavidez has probably got, of the flyweights, he's probably got one of the few that has the knockout power. But there's these guys in these lighter weight classes just have it's a much more difficult time to knock somebody out.
True there. So then in the undercard, we also have Brian Stann taking on Mike Bisping. Where do you see that one?
The All-American Brian Stann. You know, this guy is another guy who, you know, former WC light heavyweight champion, was kind of one-dimensional when he started, when he came over to UFC, mostly just a striker, has really become a more well-rounded fighter in the intervening years and really has become a complete mixed martial artist. He's got the power that we know Bisping is susceptible to, as Dan Henderson proved. If he can land the more powerful strikes on Bisping, I think he can take this fight. That being said, Bisping is a very, very good fighter, very, very good tactician, and has great defense, very defensive minded fighter. You know, with the exception of his always going to the left when he's trying to circle away.
you know, I think this could end up being kind of a striking point game, but I think what's going to happen is Bisping's going to land, probably land more than Stan, but Stan's going to land the harder punches. So I think it's pretty much it's a very close fight. I think Stan takes this one. Wow. Now, Bisping was, I thought, impressive in the fight with Chael Sonnen, which I think is his last fight that he had. I thought he beat Sonnen in that fight, was kind of surprised when, you know, the decision was read. So you really are counting Bisping out of this. Oh, I don't count him out. I think, like I said, it's a very close fight. I think Stan is slightly underrated. Because people dismiss him because he's got the good story and because he's, you know, former Marine captain and all that stuff, war hero, and he's a little bit overhyped in that sense. I think people overlook his talent because of that. His power in his hands is pretty good. Now, is it title worthy? Probably not, but I think he can catch Bisping. I think if he catches Bisping with enough power and hits him in the right spot, I think Bisping goes out. Fair enough. Now, anything else you see on that undercard that you find intriguing? Well, the return of Matt Hamill. That's true. Coming back after retirement. We'll see. He's fighting Roger Hollett. I think, we'll see if he's healed up and see if he can use his wrestling to good effect here. The thing that always got me about Hamill is he was almost reluctant to use the wrestling in the cage, and he would always try to stand up.
Yeah, he felt, you know, he's another one of these guys that fell into the trap of trying to win bonuses, I think. Not necessarily win bonuses, but knowing that the fans want more exciting fights, and that happens more often than not in the stand-up.
Yeah.
And they try to use their stand-up more, George Gurgel is a perfect example, a guy who's really good on the ground, really good, that just tries to fight wars, and he's just not – he never had the talent or the strength or the power to do that to great effect. You can't just use it singular. You got to work to your strengths, and, you know, Hamill's strength is obviously his wrestling, and if he uses it and gets Hollett down, I think he wins this fight.
I would hope he would start using his strengths better. That's the only thing. I've always liked Hamill. It's a very inspirational story. Of course, he's deaf, and his corner has to give him signs. And it's a really interesting story to see this. There's actually a documentary made about him. And I'd just like to say stay tuned for Overtime as well, because we will be talking about Night of Champions and wrapping the whole show up. But, yeah, definitely. So Matt Hamill, inspirational story. That's it's good to see him back in the cage, quite frankly, because he's only, what, like 34, 35?
Yeah, he's like 34. I around mid-30s.
Okay, so that's Saturday on pay-per-view, UFC 152. Of course, 153 is getting more and more interesting by the day, because you have Stephen Bonner taking on Anderson Silva. What do you see very early in that one for Stephen Bonner? Is he just a sheep led to slaughter on that one?
Well, you got to think so. I mean, it's hard to you look at Stephen Bonner. He was nowhere near. He was basically retired. He was nowhere near a title shot, and he basically just said, "Hey, I'm looking for a named fight." And the UFC said, "Well, you could fight Anderson Silva in Rio." And he's like, "Okay," you know. He really doesn't have anything to lose. If he loses, okay, he lost to the greatest of all time. If he wins, hey, I just beat the greatest of all time. Granted, not in his normal weight class, but hey, that might translate into a new contract or another pay-per-view main event. You know, something. There's really no loss here. You know, if he, other than potentially going out and retiring with a loss on your record, but, you know, they're worse people than that have lost to Anderson Silva. And there's really no shame in that.
I totally agree. So very early, I think, what is he, a 35-1 underdog?
I don't think it's that bad, but it's like 14-1.
I thought it was 35-1 when it first came out. It might have changed in the past couple of weeks, but if he somehow does it, especially in Rio, oh my God, that's going to be...
You gotta wonder if he gets out of Rio if he weeds Anderson Silva.
If it somehow happens.
So he could be Chael Sonnen's best friend then, because all of a sudden he's the most hated man in Brazil.
That's true. Very, very, very true. So it's going to be an interesting fight to see. I think it's going to try to... He's going to try to do stand-up, and he's going to try to, you know, knock him out. And the thing about Stephen Bonner is you can't knock that guy out. He is a zombie. He is a psycho, like his moniker is. So
yeah, he's certainly going to be able to take more punishment, but we shouldn't count out his ground game. He's got a decent ground game, too, so if he can't manage to get Anderson down, he might be able to land some punches.
That's true. So stay tuned for UFC 153 as well, coming up very soon. I believe it's the first week of October. I'm not quite sure. But Omega, Brady, you still there? Did we put you to sleep?
I'm here.
Okay. Now, of course, Night of Champions happened this past Sunday. How do you feel about that dusty finish where it looked like Cena won, but they were both pinned, so it becomes a draw? What are your feelings about that one, Brady?
Well, I think they kind of had to do that in a way. They painted themselves into a corner because they had two guys that essentially neither one of them could really afford to lose at that point. It didn't make sense to take the title off of CM Punk, just considering how long his reign has been and just considering the fact that I kind of get the feeling that they're holding off CM Punk to keep the title until around the Royal Rumble when The Rock comes back. So just because they've been, you know, kind of hinting at that match for a while. So it didn't make sense for CM Punk to necessarily lose the title, and it didn't make sense for Cena to necessarily lose another match. So I thought it made sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you choked him out or something.
Ah, stop it, you. Anyway, you're such a jerk sometimes. Did you see the pay-per-view, Dan?
Jerk.
Your name's not Dan. Yes, I did see it.
Okay, so what'd you think of...
I was agreeing. In all seriousness, I was just kidding. I do agree with Brady. It was like he kind of had two guys that it didn't benefit anybody for either one of them to lose.
Yeah.
So you were at a point where, well, what the hell are we going to do? It's going to end in the draw. It's going to end in the DQ. You kind of put yourself into a corner on that one. And I don't. Where do you go from here? Now, my understanding is to cut ahead. Now, Cena is actually out for 6 weeks, correct?
The 4 to 6, yeah. That's the last I heard.
The estimate is that he should be back in time for the next pay-per-view.
Well, he was upset about that on Twitter. He said, no, it's definitely 6 weeks, so he shouldn't make it to Hell in a Cell.
That's not what I heard. Okay, well.
Somebody stole our name.
There's only one pay-per-view without him. No big deal. I mean, he can still appear.
Oh, it's definitely no big deal.
Yeah, I was hoping he was out for longer than that.
I don't want the man hurt, but,
Can he sell anything? He is, seriously, can he sell anything?
Merchandise.
Besides pay-per-views.
Merchandise, a lot of it.
Yeah.
But can he sell in the ring? Anyone?
No.
The lack of noise right now.
I said no.
Well, yes, but
I mean, I don't. I didn't want to step on anyone's toes. I think Cena is better as a wrestler than most people make him out to be, but not as good as he certainly should be for the level that he's at. And I think that's fair to say that.
That would be a fair assessment, I think. And fair. I think that's the problem I have with him. Fair point. Yes, that is a fair point.
I mean, you know, like, Hulk Hogan wasn't the best wrestler in the world, but, you know, right. I mean, he was over, and that's really all that mattered.
Kodiak Bear was the better wrestler than Hulk Hogan.
You and Kodiak Bear. Now, Omega, did you see the pay-per-view?
I did not see the pay-per-view.
Oh, you. I mean,
you had one job to do.
He does the UFC, so.
Yeah, I did the UFC thing.
Yeah,
but, you know, I'll tell you what my thoughts are on the finish. You know, I didn't really have a problem with Cena losing, honestly. I mean, the guy is Teflon. You know, he's gonna sell merchandise and tickets no matter where he goes. It doesn't hurt him to lose. And it wouldn't have hurt to make CM Punk look strong coming out of that. That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion, but I mean, I think I don't really have a problem with finish, but that's just my thoughts.
Yeah, and you know what? If this were this time last year, if CM Punk were a good guy, I would absolutely agree with that. But just based on the fact that CM Punk they're making some sort of an effort to make him a heel, as they say. I think that that Cena can't necessarily be losing to him cleanly.
Hmm. Fair points. Fair points, everyone. Ugh. So, the other big problem I had coming out of this pay-per-view was Dolph Ziggler jobbed out against Orton. What sense does that make? Wait, what?
I thought you were going to say Caitlyn getting taken out when they promised us Caitlyn.
No, not at all. I was not heartbroken over that. Like Big Earn. Was pretty upset about that, but no. Why? What's the point of jobbing out Ziggler? Go ahead, Brady.
Well, I mean the point is that anyone that's on the cusp of a main event push, they job out. I mean they've done it with so many guys over the years, and I don't know if it's a matter of trying to keep them humble or if it's just a matter of they're not ready to take Randy Orton and have him lose his spot necessarily to Dolph Ziggler. I mean, maybe there are some people that perceived it like that. I don't know. But I think that in the future months, it really won't matter the results of this match because Dolph Ziggler's star is on the rise in the company. And ultimately, that matters a whole lot more than one pay-per-view match.
There you go. Now, Dan, how do you feel about that? Dan?
I'm here. I'm sorry. I've given up on them giving any sort of push to Dolph Ziggler. I feel completely different about it the other way about it. I think they're just letting him squander around the mid-card. I don't understand why he's not up there with John Cena right now, or with CM Punk, my opinion, in my little tiny opinion.
But, I mean, Ziggler's a guy that the fans obviously want to see built, and they're not doing it. Now, Omega, what do you think about it?
Yeah, I mean, I just don't see the reason for his loss. I mean, if you – I would have thought they would have pulled the trigger on his title run earlier than this, I guess. I don't see why they continue to drag that out. Assuming he's going to get return to the briefcase and get a title run. But if you're going to give him a title run, then why don't you make him at least look like he deserves it? You know, even if he is a heel. I don't see a problem with strong heels.
Huh. So,
For me, I'm sorry. It's kind of reminiscent of Daniel Bryan about this time last year when he had the briefcase and he was losing to everybody. I mean, you don't remember that now.
Yeah, that's true.
Good point.
But the other, speaking of Daniel Bryan, what do you think of the angle that they're tag team champions now? What do you think of that?
I mean, I think that they're fun little segments. Now, I was in attendance at SmackDown last night in Philly, and we were treated to 4 in-ring segments plus 3 backstage segments. And for me, out of an 8 possible 8 quarter-hour segments, to have them involved in like 6 or 7 of them, it was a little bit of overkill for me. I think that they're starting to rely on them a little bit too much. And the comedy's fun and all, and it'll probably be a great T-shirt to say I'm the tag team champion or hug it out or whatever, but I think it's going to get old really fast if they don't just scale back a little bit, just a little.
Well, do you think that this was surprising to the creative team, that they really... took off like they did?
I mean, probably not. I mean, I'm sure that they thought that almost anything that they give to Daniel Bryan at this point would succeed. I think because he's kind of proven that he has, in spite of his look, he kind of has proven that he has that ability to connect with the fans and actually give them something, not just in the ring but outside the ring, that they can really enjoy and relate to and have fun with. And I think that Kane as a character has struggled for a long time, especially comedy-wise. I mean, he hasn't had anything fun in a long time. So for you know, to take a shot at this and to try and do something different, I mean, I commend them for it. I mean, whether or not they expected it, I have no idea, but I know that they have a lot of faith in that locker room.
I kind of like it. You know, it's different.
Well, I think good.
I was just gonna say I agree. I probably don't think I don't think they expected it, and I think they're gonna go with it now. I mean, it was a better idea than what they had.
I think Kane is that type of performer that can really, he's really chameleon like, and he can adapt to anything they give him.
I really do think, I mean, everything they've thrown at him so far as, I mean, do you mean Kane or the person?
Well, whoever, but whatever
I was going to say, because as far as, you know, from a terrible dentist to Katie Vick, he's pretty much run with everything and made it work some way.
Some way, somehow. Omega, what do you think of this tag team that was thrown together?
Yeah, I think it works for now. I mean, for where those two guys are, and I they seem to play well off each other. It's working. You gotta like that it's working. You know, like to Dan's point, you know, Kane does pretty well whatever you give him, and Daniel Bryan is just talented as all hell. So
I love seeing Daniel Bryan on TV. Like, and then I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. I will watch him. He's a good performer. He's a good talker. I just wanted to throw that in before because I forgot to put it on my original point. Go ahead, Mike.
But he's another guy who's, you think about it, this is a guy who got fired 2 years ago, you know.
Yeah.
you know, and it's like, and now he, but he now he's just does whatever is asked of him, and he's getting rewarded for it. You know, not only. At least by the fans, if not by the WWE itself, but certainly he's had his chances with the straps and stuff, and he's getting airtime in the programs. I'm all for it, honestly.
Well, think about this: Daniel Bryan is so over. You can be at a CZW show or an Evolve show or ECWA show, whatever, and the yes chance will start.
Yes,
that's how over this guy is. It's almost like the what? It's almost like the woo. It's
exactly.
That's how over Daniel Bryan is. And you really have to take a step back and think of it that way because it's really gotten into at least wrestling pop culture.
At least he tried MMA once. Daniel Bryan did.
I wasn't aware.
Well, if you listened to the interview I sent, you would have known that.
I wasn't aware.
Didn't he train with Hoist Gracie?
I don't remember the name he threw out there, but it was after he had a detached retina. So I believe his right eye, I think that was the one that was injured. Correct me if I'm wrong. But it doesn't work. Apparently, to him, what he said was that it doesn't work in MMA fighting when somebody's coming at him from the right. He can't really see it.
There you go.
He dropped out of that real quick.
And as you said,
I mean, he's one of the few guys I feel is worth the TV time at this point. So you darn right, I'm going to watch him.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. So overall, Brady, what did you think of Night of Champions?
I think Big Earn, one of the visitors to the Conclave, put it best. You know, that night I wasn't that much into the pay-per-view, but as I sit and reflect on it and over the last few days, it's kind of improved in my mind. I mean, they delivered pretty much everything that they promised. You know, there was nothing special. There were no surprises. But it was one of those pay-per-views where they actually gave you everything that they said that they would. And for that, I'd give them like a B. I think that's fair.
How about you, Dan?
Wet T-shirt AJ, I give him a B.
Good enough for me. I actually thought it was a really good pay-per-view. I would give it in the A minus A range. Very good pay-per-view. Probably the best one I've seen since WrestleMania.
I was the best one. I thought it was better than WrestleMania. I gave that a D.
WrestleMania was, I don't know. WrestleMania was really about two matches. Of course, the Undertaker match, and of course, The Rock and Cena. So you had those two matches.
You forget about the other ones.
But they delivered, I thought. No, I didn't forget about Sheamus against Daniel Bryan and whatever
and
else.
The 10-second match that was?
No, but there was even, like, I thought that Cody Rhodes against Big Show was passable. It was a good match, but whatever. You know, we all have our...
Whatever.
Yeah,
you know.
Whatever.
I think Extreme Rules has to get an honorable mention, too, just for the Brock Lesnar-John Cena match.
I don't.
I thought it was an excellent match. The ending, yeah. I mean, was a little confusing, but I thought it was great.
All right, Brady. On that note, what I'm going to say is... Well, no, I wasn't doing that, but what I'm going to say is make sure you check out ECWAProWrestling.com. Check out CZ...
I will.
Check out CZWrestling.com.
Oh, thank you.
Check out www.bedofnailswithaz.com, and that's that will take you to PWS. So check that out. And, of course, doyouliveyourdreams.com. That's for the Dreams Project that Mike Keener was telling us about.
Please support that.
It sounds like a really good show, too. So support it and get treated to a good show. Chris Wilde, you can find on Twitter at the Chris Wilde. Craven Vero at Metal God PWS. DJ Hyde is DJ Hyde _1. Now, next week, of course, don't forget about thebradyhicks.com because that's the best in all your wrestling needs. Everything is right there for you. We're there. Which, frankly, is enough.
I was going to say, it's the best show on there.
It certainly is enough, but, you know, we always strive for more. So there's plenty more on there.
There is a lot on there.
Yeah, and in addition, they debut tomorrow on thebradyhicks.com on fan mail with Robert Knight, the video version.
Yes, yes.
That will be excellent. Another platform for Robert Knight. Of course, check NMRWrestling.com. That's for Brady, and I will be working
with
them.
Your team for New Moon Rising Wrestling. Congratulations,
yeah.
Gentlemen.
Thank you. Yeah. I thought it was a brainstorm. It came to me, and I said, Brady, let's get this together. Let's do this. Try out tape and send it in. That's right. We sent it by tape. And... let's see how it goes.
So that was your idea now.
Yes.
You know what? I think we should put it on a tape, Brady. I think that's a great idea, Dean.
It was a reel-to-reel tape delivered by FedEx.
It was even better. You had it delivered by DHL.
I was going to say that, but I forgot about the name.
We actually sent it via Beta and sent a Beta machine as well. So.
That alone costs $1,000.
That's just going to be exciting for me. I cannot wait for...
I can't wait to get the finished product, man.
It's you know, they're going to have ITV. It's quite the opportunity. And, of course, thanks to Jake, Justin, the New Moon board. Really, it's a hell of an opportunity, and I am quite grateful for it, all kidding aside.
Dude,
I'm a good word for me.
I am so stoked right now. It's going to be an awesome experience. And, you know, I always say I like working with good people. I surround myself with good people. You guys are good. The ECWA crew, they're all good. And I'm so proud now to be affiliated with New Moon because they are good people.
Yeah, I definitely can't agree enough with that statement. Now, next week, we're going to have Mia Yim. In most likely her last interview in the United States before going to Japan. That's huge.
Yeah, yum.
That's huge. I had no idea.
We are all end all be all. Got it?
Yes. So, and then we're going to have B-Stoner Amadeus Thorne. He's going to promote that charity show that we brought up a few times. That's, of course, coming up on the 29th.
What everybody's meeting about?
In Franklinville, New Jersey. So, Amadeus Thorne, Mia Yim, that's next week. Perhaps Breaker Morant will reschedule for next week as well. So, I'm not sure. We'll find out, but it's not going to be a two-hour broadcast, that's for sure.
Never again.
What, one more thing, Dean, before I go?
Of course, Brady.
Okay. Throw out some prayers to my PWI editor and one of my best friends in wrestling, Frank Kruda. You know, I don't know what to say at this point. I just hope he's going to be okay. And so definitely, if you want to send any thoughts or prayers, you can find him on Facebook. It's facebook.com/, I believe, Frank Kruda. But if you search for it, or if you search in my friends, you'll find him. So definitely. And you know what? Keep checking out my Facebook. I'll put up updates whenever I get them. So.
And like I said, Dan shared a story earlier. I'll share a story, too, about Frank. It was actually the first time I met him. It was at the New Moon Show in April. And we were outside. I was smoking a cigarette. He was just kind of out there talking. And he came up to me and he says, "Hey, I heard you're starting a podcast." I said, yeah. And he says, "Well, I'd love to come on anytime. Anytime you want me on, anytime you need me, I'm available." And I always thought that was really cool because here I am. Standing with the Pro Wrestling Illustrated editor-in-chief, someone I've read a story since 19, of course, Crew Cuts from Pro Wrestling Illustrated, since 1996.
Right.
And he's asking me to come on my podcast that at that point didn't even start yet. So I was always humbled by that. I was always, and from that point on, I always thought Frank was a great guy, and he's always come up, when he's covering a show, he's always come up and we've chatted a bit. So it was sad news, but Brady, you had very good news earlier tonight that...
Hey, did he ever find his bag?
Oh, yeah, he was looking for that bag. Did he find the bag, Brady?
The bag.
His camera bag. He was looking for it.
I think so.
He was looking for his camera bag.
I'm pretty sure he found it. I didn't hear anything about him missing it.
Yeah, he was...
Right,
he was,
then he found it.
He was furiously searching the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Newark.
I'm sorry, real quick. Frank is one of the nicest, most genuine people that I know, and that is rare to come by in wrestling. I can remember my sister actually passed away a few years ago, and I barely knew Frank at that point, only for a few months, and he called me and talked to me, and he was there for me through the entire ordeal, and for that I will always be grateful. He is, like I said, he's one of my best friends, not just in wrestling but in life. So I'm really hoping and praying, and I'm there for Dawn and his entire family. So.
Brady, real quick, how old is he?
He's 41, I believe.
Oh.
I told you.
I was way off.
What did you think? I
said 50s.
Oh, God, no. No.
Good job, Dean. Good job.
I thought he was at least 70.
Well, first time he... Well, he's been writing since 96, so he was there right out of college.
It's a name that you hear.
How old Matt Brock is.
Oh, yeah, Matt Brock. Let's not get into that conversation. So for Omega, for Dan, for Brady, I am Double D. Best wishes to Frank Kruda, and have a good night.
There's a reason why they say not to do this at home.
The body.